All right, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah?
This is American Information, a brand new segment we are debuting right now. Mike, take it
Wait,
away.
I thought you had it.
Okay. Good start.
Okay. I have American Information, more on the Troy Aikman typing championship.
Okay.
Apparently, the article from Tulsa World, apparently Aikman was a legend on the keyboard before becoming one on the scoreboard. His teacher, he was always so calm and poised, Julie, two traits that certainly would help a quarterback, recalled Froman, his teacher, who taught...
Froman?
Froman, 53. Okay, Jean...
Sausage King of Chicago?
No, not Abe Froman. Jean Froman, who was Aikman's teacher in typing 1 and typing 2 in the early 80s at Henrietta High School. He was able to type 80 words per minute without mistakes.
Nice.
Which smokes.
That was the championship?
Yeah.
Well, look at Julie.
Okay. A little miss.
What 66
over here.
Well, my first one was 70.
But you wouldn't have won the championship.
No, I'm not claiming to be a state champion, though. Okay.
Again, and this was on. Okay, this was. He won the regional typing contest sponsored by Oklahoma State Tech in Okmulgee, Oklahoma in 1984. Again, this is on a typewriter, too, right? Not even on a fancy, high quality.
Yeah.
Cumulus computer that you have.
Okay.
So that's different. You got to push hard.
That's true. Never typed on a typewriter.
You haven't?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, man. Those were the days. Yeah, it sucked.
More American information.
Okay.
Oh, we have the eagle.
It's a shocking headline that I say just to sound interesting, but do first round quarterbacks suck? Look, obviously not the case, not in every case, but the stat is out there, and Saad did a little research on every quarterback drafted in the first round from 2009 to 2016, which you would think are the ones who are flooding the league right now and having
primes,
incredible
right?
success.
Yeah.
Not one of those 22 are with the team that drafted them. So let's zip through these and see if
That's
you can
amazing.
Tell me
okay.
the state of these individuals. I'll start in 2009 and go in draft order to all the way through 2016. Number 9. Number 1 to the Lions, Matthew Stafford.
He's with the Rams now.
He's a starter for the Rams. Number 5 to the Jets, Mark Sanchez.
Out of the league, butt fumble.
Number 17 to the Buccaneers, Josh Freeman.
Out of the league.
2010. Number 1 to the Rams, Sam Bradford.
Out of the league.
Number 25, Broncos, Tim Tebow.
Out of the league.
2011, number 1, Panthers, Cam Newton.
He's a free agent. Doesn't have a team.
Number 8, Titans, Jake Locker.
Ooh. Is he out?
Out
of the league,
entirely?
Yeah. That's what I said.
Number 10, to the Jaguars, Blaine Gabbert.
He's the backup to, isn't he the backup to Tom Brady?
You're dang right he is.
All right.
And he's the one that was he the one carrying drunk Brady out? It was one of their quarterbacks. I don't know if it was Blaine or whoever the third stringer was. Number 12 to the Vikings in 2011 was Christian Ponder.
Out.
Out of the league. 2012, number 1 to the Colts, Andrew Luck.
Retired.
Number 2, RG3.
Back up in Baltimore.
Number 8 to the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill.
The starter in Tennessee.
Number 22 to the Browns, Brandon Whedon.
Out.
Out. 2013, number 16 to the Bills, EJ Manuel.
Out.
2014, number 3 to the Jags, Blake Bortles.
Back up somewhere. I don't know.
Currently a free agent.
Okay.
Number 22, Browns, Johnny Manziel.
The fan-controlled football
right.
league.
Or a.k.a. out of the league. Number 32, Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater.
Carolina.
That's right. 2015, Jameis Winston. Oh, number 1 to the Bucks.
Saints.
Number 2, Titans, Marcus Mariota.
He was a Raider last year, but I think he's a free agent.
They have him listed as Raiders backup
okay.
still. All the way to 2016, number 1 overall, Rams, Jared Goff.
Detroit.
Number 2, Eagles, Carson Wentz.
Indianapolis.
Number 26, Broncos, Paxton Lynch.
Out.
Out of the league. Not one of
That's
the
crazy.
22 quarterbacks selected in the first round are with their original team.
And with the position and the state of the NFL, you have to take those chances.
So I did the math a little bit. Out of 22 quarterbacks, 10 of them, 45.5% of those quarterbacks are out of football or out of the National Football League.
And they're not even 35.
Right. 22.7% are starters in the league right now. 31.8% are either hanging on, backups, or free agents right now.
That's incredible. Seriously.
It's really wild.
That science of, okay, these guys, we watched them in college, we've evaluated them, and we feel that they are the ones to lead our franchise. And it's not 15, 20 years ago. It's 2009.
Right, to 2016.
Right.
So you're looking at quarterbacks 5 to 10 years ago that should be heavily populating the league, which some of them are, and 45%, almost 46% are no longer in the NFL.
And the 16 is the one I'm most, because of the 1 and 2. They went 1 and 2, and they both are not with their original teams.
And if you relist all those dudes, the best quarterback out of all of them, even right now, is the first one we listed, right? Matthew Stafford. The first pick in 2009.
I do wonder, all those guys in a pool, and you have to pick one, do you take Tannehill? Do you take Stafford? Do you take Goff?
Factoring in age?
Mm-hmm.
Boy. Because I would still consider Goff.
I would too.
I guess he's a nincompoop.
they feel that it's a complete failure in L.A., but they did make a Super Bowl, and they were pretty competitive all those years.
You know, if you're saying which of those you could have and thrive for 5 years starting right now, I think I do take Stafford.
Stafford over Tannehill.
And then I think I'd take Tannehill, and then I think I'd take Goff.
Okay.
How about that American information?
That's great American information.
You got any more?
What was I supposed to do?
The Gobert?
Oh, yeah. So, American information.
What was I supposed to do?
The NBA has a problem with their officials, and now the players are starting to get a little bit of a little air in their chest thinking that they can call officials out. It's been happening a lot before, but you saw Devin Booker get ejected for maybe calling a referee a B and kind of passing on the ball. You didn't hear exactly what he said, but you saw him pass the ball and people said, oh my gosh, he got ejected for that. He just passed him the ball. And then Donovan Mitchell, he calls out ridiculous officiating. And now Rudy Gobert is not just saying something that you don't have the audio from. He is speaking his mind, patient zero, Rudy Gobert is talking about officiating, and it's not just about the individuals, it's about the teams in certain markets. So let's listen to Rudy.
You know, all guys, I'm not able to get some calls that everybody else in the league gets. So, you know, we know that we're the Utah Jazz, and we, you know, maybe some people don't want to see us, you know, go as far as I believe that we can go, but it's disappointing. You know, hopefully they're going to watch the game, you know, when they get home. We all do. I watch it too. But hopefully they feel ashamed when they watch the game. And we know that, you know, when you're a small market, I don't want to say that, but I really believe it. You know, after playing in this league for 8 years, it's a little harder. And that's one of the things that we got to overcome. And that's why I told the guys, you know, when you're a small market, you got to, you gotta be better than just better. You gotta be, you know, you gotta be elite, and we gotta control what we can control. But it's very disappointing to be disrespected like that.
You think Rudy's talking about out of his French butt, or do you think there's something to that?
I don't know. Like his claim, obviously, is that small market teams generally don't get the calls that the big blue bloods get. I don't think that's true. But he's like, you know, after 8 years in the league, I've come to this conclusion.
But on an individual level, don't we kind of all say that? Like when Luka would always complain about calls, we would say superstars get that call. Like you have to work your way up to get those calls. Isn't that kind of like what he's saying on a team level?
Yes. And I think the superstar getting a call that maybe a non-superstar will, I think that happens a lot. I just don't know that a referee is saying, oh, it's just Utah, I'm not going to give him a call.
But is Donovan Mitchell not a higher-level superstar because he plays in Utah? You know, if he was on the Lakers, would we all be Donovan Mitchell crazy, and then he would thereby get calls that...
Mm, I don't know. I think the visibility of the NBA is so now that it's just not having one, two games on a week and it's all big market teams being shown. If you have a favorite team or player or whatever, you can pretty much watch them play every single game. So Donovan Mitchell is the star, whether he's in Utah or whether he's in LA.
But he's not on the level of, and we just said, superstars get calls. You know, and if you were listing your top 20 superstars in the NBA, I don't know that it would include Donovan Mitchell.
I think it would, and I think it doesn't matter where you play now. I think that's an old adage that's gone away. I really do. Because of the accessibility of games.
Yeah.
And being able to see those guys.
And even the smallest market NBA team, I mean, you're still an NBA team, and I don't think the referees, whether it be conscious or subconscious, are on the floor when the Lakers are playing whoever, the Jazz or Charlotte or whoever, I don't even know, and they're thinking, oh, no, oh, I'm not, that's only Charlotte. Like, yeah, no, dude, this is an NBA team. I'm here to do my job. This stuff is happening lightning fast. It's also an impossible job being an NBA ref or any ref. That I don't think we as a whole appreciate how tough it is.
No, it is tough. I think the NBA official is the one that's the most diva-ish as far as the other officials. The more of, hey, look at me kind of deal. Because I think referees in the past that you knew their names and they had a certain reputation. And now, name the most prominent NBA official out there right now. I don't think that's still the case.
Steve Javy.
But I think that they have the attitude of you can't talk to me like that and are quicker to make decisions that are more, you know, can turn a game one way
or
the other.
I agree, but don't they have to have that? Like some ego? Like you're dealing with physical monsters size-wise. You're a smaller person and you have to be in charge of this thing, otherwise you'll lose control of it.
But they're not going to beat you up.
But intimidation isn't necessarily with flying fists. I mean, do you think it's okay for Devin Booker to call a referee a bitch to his face, which is allegedly what he said that got ejected? Now, maybe it is okay because the ref should be like, it's not whatever. Sticks and stones, I'm here to do a job, and I don't want the league and me, we don't want a game that Devin Booker is now ejected from because my feelings are hurt. But that said, is that okay? It doesn't feel okay to look him in the eye and call him that.
But it's a slippery slope because it shouldn't bother you. It shouldn't to say, okay, you called me that, I have a whistle and I can kick you out because you called me a bad name. It feels weird. Now, you do have to have some level of respect. I do fully understand that. But it is wild how, and I guess as a player, you have to realize and recognize who you're speaking with, because there are some things you probably can get away with one ref that you can't with another. And the way they're calling the game, like you can get mad that they're calling this game so tightly, but don't you think after 3 or 4 minutes you realize what's happening and adjust your game to it so you won't be so frustrated? I mean, that's just kind of the balance of everything going on. I feel weird saying at points it may be okay to call a referee that. But then I guess the referee has his power to say, yo, you call me that, I'm kicking you at the gate. Like, and then I'm talking bad about the ref. I don't know.
But what if he calls really him that, weird. The other players hear it, and then another one says it, and then it goes around the league, and that's our nickname for him. You know what I mean? And this guy's like, I have no, you know. I don't know. It's definitely, it's about the players. It's not about the refs, and the refs' names we shouldn't know. You know, we shouldn't know the umpire who has a terrible strike zone. We shouldn't know the NFL ref, you know, the referee, which we know mainly because they're the one on the microphone who does the, you know, the announcements. But NBA, we shouldn't know their names. But, boy, they do put on a show sometimes. Who's my man, the bald guy who's the bald ref who's not there anymore?
Joey Crawford?
Yeah, Joey Crawford. Who would, when he would call a block and point the other way, it looked like Frank Drebin calling a strike in The Naked Gun. Don't worry, it's funny.
I saw Naked Gun.
Okay. I'm good. Like doing the full dance maneuver.
Right.
No, last way.
And then the famous.
But then it's also, are you adding to the show? You know, like it is dramatic. And if it's the home team who takes a charge, but then why should he be getting an endorphin rush by doing this dramatic call from the home crowd? Like that in and of itself is seemingly not in the spirit of calling a fair game straight down the middle.
And wasn't it Joey Crawford who kicked Tim Duncan out of a Spurs Mavericks game and Tim Duncan didn't say a word? Yeah. He's kind of just looking at him, and he kicked him out.
That's awesome.
No, it's stupid. Yeah.
And Joey Crawford was suspended indefinitely for that.
That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, all that American information,
it was
way
too much. It was so much.
All right.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.